This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, where you get a glass and a half of inspiring, influential, and interesting guests with every podcast. You can follow Steve Kelly Delivers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported on Venmo.com.
It has been a while since I've delivered quality entertainment to my listeners, but Steve Kelly is delivering once again. Go to my website, SteveKellyDelivers.com. Follow me on all my social media links there. If you would like to donate to my podcast, you can friend me on Venmo and follow me on Patreon. With no further ado, it is my honor to introduce my next guest, Zai the Entertainer. Zai, thank you very much for appearing on my podcast. It has been a while. As I've mentioned, I'm a little bit rusty. 2020 has been throwing a lot of curveballs at us. And it's great to be doing something related to the entertainment industry again, though. And thank you again very much.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. I feel the exact same way. You know, the music industry has been sincerely and seriously impacted by 2020 just as a whole. You know, they're talking about not bringing back concerts until 2022. And even when they return, we're not even sure how they're going to fashion them. So it's definitely been an entirely different vibe for the music industry. It's just a different take on it. Music is still keeping people united online and on the radio, but the community of festivals and shows, concerts, and the like is just completely changed. The landscape of music and how it's been done now for, you know, tens of years is just completely gone. So I'm really grateful to be able to be doing this with you, and hopefully, with any luck, we'll be ushering in by doing this some really good positive changes that hopefully will benefit the music community as well.
Yes, I'll definitely hoping for that. And before we do get into your musical career, a good opening for the story of Zai would be from the beginning. And that would be in reference to your birth. Your biological mom was a product of Hollywood?
Yes, she was. My biological mother was actually the runner-up for Mrs. USA, and she holds the title for Mrs. New York. So she actually was one of those beauty pageant model moms that went a very far long way and attained the crown, the sought-after crown. And she also was New York's Lotto girl for a number of years and has worked in modeling, acting, basically everything except for singing. So I think I kind of filled in that little slot. But yes, she was involved with that, and my entire family, every single family member, is actually involved in some way in the industry, in the entertainment industry.
Wow, so you're like a real-life Partridge Family.
Yeah, in a way, for sure. I mean, if you added all of our talents together, we could really get something going. It's a shame we don't get along better because, yeah, we've got a makeup artist, we've got a DJ, a drummer. One of my brothers runs conventions. He's done all the James Bond conventions for the past 30, 40 years. And then, of course, there's me, and I'm an all-around. And we have one of my brothers is also an actor, so we really could have had an entire team together, for sure.
And I heard you mention New York. Whereabouts in New York are you originally from?
Oh, the famous and infamous Long Island.
Long Island.
Over there in Ocean Avenue, actually, right off that little drive, and just so interesting, because every time I heard the song, if you're familiar with the band Yellow Card, they have a song called Ocean Avenue, so anytime that was referenced, I would go, that was my first street, you know?
Nice.
Singing along and bopping to it.
Yeah, I'm originally Brentwood, New York, Suffolk County.
Oh, that's so awesome. Oh, cool. So we would have been asking each other to go grab each other some coffee and take out the dogs and the trash and, you know, definitely make sure the garbage is taken care of.
Yes, definitely.
That's awesome. I got to say, I really did enjoy being from New York. Being in Florida is is a whole nother breed.
It is. But, you know, it's funny. There's just so many of us New Yorkers down here that it's like you're almost like you're back in New York again.
Mm-hmm. I know. They all flocked and droves and they followed us here. I think they knew. They knew Steve. They're like, oh my goodness, Steve and Sire are going to Florida. We have to go.
There you go. We're trendsetters. Now, if only we could bring Hollywood here.
Trailblazing trendsetters. What can we say?
Yes, only if we could bring Hollywood here with us. They definitely need to do a lot more down here. Hopefully that'll happen.
They do. Yeah, they've been getting better with it, but 2020, again, kind of interrupted the process. They started opening up some licenses in Tampa for movies, and of course, you know, we had the Clearwater Dolphin Winter on film, which was really cool, from the Clearwater Aquarium, so that was a nice little coup to us.
Oh, yeah.
But most of the time you hear Tampa, Florida referenced in any movie, it's not necessarily, it's more or less the butt of the joke. You know, like, oh, not Tampa.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta change our names. We gotta restart.
Oh, yeah. Now, there was a story of something that happened in your apartment complex when you were 18. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, as you and maybe some of your listeners might know, speaking of Tampa, Florida, and our notorious ways, Tampa is actually considered one of the most human trafficked areas in the entire world, and that's actually attributed to our international airport. And because it's so easy to just get people in and out, and also because our laws in Florida are relatively different from most of the country. And so I found myself in one such situation when I was 18. It was my first apartment, and I was really lost in the world at the time. I, even though I had a Hollywood upbringing, I also had a pretty strict religious home where I wasn't really introduced to much. And so when I got to my first apartment, I was culture shocked entirely. And at the time, I didn't recognize, because I was, again, young and just naive, that the manager of the apartment complex, he kept hitting on me. And I was really confused because he would ask me these weird questions and he would try to get me to go to parties. But I was a good Christian girl back then, and I said, sorry, sir, all I do is go to college and church, the two CCs, that's all I need. And so I actually never got as trapped as I might have, but the sad part of the situation happened when I started calling the police for having break-ins into my apartment. People were coming into my apartment, and every time I called the cops and I said, listen, there's things moved around. There's a weird smell. One time I walked in and there was a girl's, a small girl's, like a child's pair of underwear. And it was in my hallway after I opened up the door. And they were bright pink, definitely not mine. And it was several times calling the police at this point. And when I called the cop had actually laughed at me. And he said that he had never heard of a quote-unquote panty bandit thief that didn't take anything. And so I said, well, this is really odd. I said, don't you want to take it in for evidence or fingerprints or anything? And he said, no, girl, it's not like the movies. You know, we don't have this lab, and, you know, we don't have like an Abby from NCIS. He's like, you can just throw them away. And sure enough, a week later, my apartment complex got busted for human trafficking. And it was what was happening was the husband of the manager, who was hitting on me and trying to get me to go into his car and go places with him. I kept thinking anytime I saw him walking with these girls that they were his daughters. They were not his daughters. They were two of his victims. He was running a trafficking ring and using his wife's keys to the apartment complex to open up people's apartments and use them for sexual encounters for these underage girls.
Oh my God.
One was 14, one was 17. I know that for a fact because when I talked to the police, they specifically said that to me. But it was incredibly terrifying because not only has that same person been trying to pick me up to the point where I didn't feel safe being at my apartment and I ended up being out a lot, but what happened is because the wife would be on staff in the front desk, she would watch. So she would see whose cars had left their apartment, who was in the pool. I mean, the time I found the pair of girls' underwear in my apartment, I was at the pool, and she was at the front desk. So she saw that I was not in my apartment, called her husband, told them that there was a vacancy, and then they had sex on my couch and on my bed.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. That is insane. And what you said about Tampa being, like, number one in the country, that I did not know. I mean, it kind of makes sense because we got the international airport, so there's a lot of accessibility. But
we're also close to the coast, so they don't have to jump as many airports to go to places like Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, Brazil. A lot of those, you know, places that have different laws than us, it's more or less a straight shot. And you can also go out to the islands, the Bahamas, wherever, you know, pretty easily. So it's less chance, less risk of getting caught. And because there's so many people coming here on vacation all the time, it's not like a small town where, you know, every Jim knows every Joe or every Jane. It's, you know, people in and out 24/7 on vacation, tourists, models, you know, people retiring, families. And so it's a lot easier to go under the radar because of that. And so it's unfortunate, but it's a reality. And when I had tried to go to ABC Action News, because I actually did have an interview scheduled with them, they had called it off, and I was so furious. I'm like, why did you call this off? And they said the police were so afraid, because apparently they did this thing. They got the head honcho. They got that guy, but they didn't get everybody. And so they said that if I went to ABC and if I blew the story up before they caught the other people, before they were apprehended,
then they wouldn't get them.
Yeah, so it would have scared them away, and then they wouldn't have had what they needed. But unfortunately, what really stinks is that I did manage to get my lease to be broken without penalty, but they tried to get me to sign a contract to never talk about what happened for $800 because they said that it was a month's worth of rent. And I was just like, this is so crazy. So I never signed it, but it was just
good
a
for
very
you.
Horrific ordeal, to say the very least. And unfortunately, it's not my only encounter with human trafficking, but it was one of my definitely more memorable ones that took me by surprise, again, being that young 18-year-old not knowing as much as I needed to know.
Oh, my God. So what was the other incident that you ran into?
Well, there was one other incident that I actually didn't connect it until I got back to the States. That's what was going on, that it was a human trafficking thing. Because, again, I was so young, I'm going, wait, what? Besides my biological mother and her own dealings with Hollywood and the trafficking that she was a part of because she was a victim of that, I didn't learn any of that until I was an adult. So I didn't even know that that happened to my biological mom until I was an adult. When I was about 15 years old, I was so excited. I was supposed to go to Japan, and I was supposed to go when I was 14, actually, but then they postponed the trip because of, I think it was not a tsunami yet. If the tsunami falls the next year, it was some kind of really bad storm over there that had to reconfigure. But I went over there when I was 15 to Japan as part of the ambassador program for the sister cities of Nagano, in Japan and Clearwater, Florida. And I was sent over there to improve relations between Japanese school systems and American school systems. And I was an exchange student for several weeks. And it was an amazing experience. I'll never forget it. I want to go back so terribly. But on our way back, we were in the Tokyo airport. And it was me, our custodian, who was in charge of us girls, and four, like, students total. So there were three other girls and me, and we were all the students sent over. And at the time, our flight was going to take off in a couple of hours, and I had, like, $12 in yen which is like their money over there, about $12 left. And so I wanted to try to buy something before I left the country because I didn't want to have to go and exchange the money, you know, and all that fun stuff.
Exactly.
So I wanted to buy something. So one of the other girls, her name was Rachel, she said, well, I'll join you. And so we went to go to a little kiosk, and our custodian was off doing something. I don't even remember. I think she had a phone call, but she was at this other gate with the other girls. And we were walking up and down this giant, you know, airport in Tokyo to try to find me something to take home so I wouldn't have to take home this yen. So we're at a kiosk, and again, 15 years old, okay? And that's when this creepy guy, and I'll never forget him. I'll never forget the way he looked, the way he smiled, nothing. It was so freaky deaky. He came up to us, and he started questioning us. Of course, he complimented us first. You know, what do you do? What are you beautiful ladies doing here? You know, you girls are so beautiful. Like, you know, I'm not used to seeing American girls. Like, you're American, right? He's, like, asking all these weird questions. And we're trying to, like, avoid him, like, you know, but we're standing at this kiosk, and we're like, okay, where do we go? And so we're trying to turn our attention back to, like, the keychain that was in my hand, because I was trying to purchase this keychain. And he gives us a business card, and he tells us that we should go with, instead of going back to America, he said that we should go with him to China. And we're like, no, sir, like, we don't know you and everything. He's like, come on. He's like, you know, I'm a real estate agent, and I'll get you girls jobs. And he goes, don't you want to have your own freedom? And he's just saying all these weird things. And
oh, my God.
At this point, yeah, at this point, we're both looking at each other, and we're like, oh, my God, like, how do we get this guy to leave us? And so he's just flirting and making real inappropriate comments. So finally, I said, well, I don't know about China, but 15 years old in America is a minor, and that's considered jail bait. And so I go, we're not going with you anywhere. And I said, but thank you for your card, because we'll be sure to give it to our adult on staff.
Nice.
Well, I was, yeah, but I was too cocky, you know. Next time I would not tell him that that's what I'm going to go do. Because he chased us through the airport back to our gate, and her name is Mrs. Damsky. She was not at the gate. She was still, like, on her phone call or whatever. So when Rachel and I ran back, we couldn't find our adult, and he chased us with his suitcase down several conveyor belt, like, escalator, you know, like the walking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Conveyor. Yeah, so, like, he chased us through that. We actually knocked people over trying to get away from this guy. And we speak English, mostly. I mean, I spoke a little Japanese, but not enough to say to, like, a working associate, like, hey, this guy is, like, chasing us and being inappropriate. Like, I didn't know what to do, so I'm trying to find my English-speaking, you know, ward. And so we're like, oh, my God, you know, like, so this guy, we outran him just by, like, two gates. We sat down in our seats, and we both, because it's cold in the airport, we both were wearing hoodies. So we threw our hoodies over our head. We sat down really low in the seats, and we just tried to be as quiet as possible. And I'll never forget it, because, like, we both peeked behind us, and, like, we watched him, and he was, like, looking back and forth and back and forth, like, trying to find us. And then he started running in the direction that we were running. So he just, like, kept running after, like, you know, a ghost. And so whenever our person, our ward, came back, we told her what happened. She went and spoke to somebody about it. But she said that there was nothing that, I guess, they could do. We had to report it to, like, an American
consulate or something. Consulate?
I'm sorry?
Consulate?
Yes. And so, and we were going to do that, but the problem was we're supposed to get on a flight in, like, 2 hours. So we can't just leave. You know, we couldn't, like, let's go down to the consulate and report this. So we ended up, cause, and especially the woman who was in charge of us at that time, you know, she's like, we got to get you back. I'm in charge of you guys. We're not, you know, stopping. We're not going to cancel these flights. These are expensive flights. We have to go back. So when I arrived home, I told my bio mom about everything and what happened, and I still had his card. And so we looked it up on our computer once I got home to America, and it was a fake website.
Oh my God.
When my mom explained to me, that's human trafficking. And so I didn't know, again, that she had been human trafficked to know that she understood or anything, but she really paled whenever I told her, and it was just such a wild thing. So that happened when I was 15, and then when I was 18, that happened at the apartment complex. But again, like, they were such vastly different situations as well that at the time, you know, being young, I just didn't click until it was all said and done. So those were two of my heavier experiences with human trafficking, aside from learning what happened to, you know, my bio mom. But again, I didn't know until I was an adult what happened to her. So those were my experiences with it, and it was wild.
Wild and scary. I'm glad that it turned out that you got out of both of them safe.
Yeah, I really lucked out. And I'm telling you, that guy was running like the wind. I remember thinking to myself, like, I was praying. I was going, God, please don't let me trip. I remember thinking to myself, if I trip, he's going to get us. Like, I remember thinking, I can't trip. I can't afford to trip. And I remember looking at my shoes going, please, please, please get me to where I need to go. Like, please don't trip. And, yeah, it was one of the most terrifying experiences. So when I read online about the stories of these girls that get offered jobs, you know, and then they get sucked into it, I'm going, that's what this guy did. You know, that's how they try to get you is, oh, yeah, we're going to promise you the world and come with me, baby. Like, I'll take care of you and leave your old life behind. But then they're just, you know, predators. So got to be really careful. And, it definitely needs to be more thoroughly explained, I think, in the school systems and just in general. I think that this should be something, a topic that should be talked about to prevent other people from undergoing the same experiences, but also some people aren't as lucky as I am and definitely need to do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, human trafficking is, now I'm finding out from your stories, just really how prevalent it is. I mean, this is a big thing. It happens worldwide. There's a lot of people involved. I mean, how surprised do you think the average person would be if they knew how big this really was, just how often it happens?
You know, it's hard to say because I've met some people that are like in La La Land and they have no idea and they're totally 100% shocked. But I don't know if it's Florida or if it's just my generation, but there are so many people that I have met that have gone through, specifically females, that have gone through similar experiences where this is not a shock to them. This is like, oh yeah, I outrun my guy too. Or, oh yeah, like, you know, somebody contacted me online and, you know, I had to block them, and I've known people that did get trapped for a little while, and it's just a really scary thing to have happen. But I think that, you know, like the average person, like I wouldn't even know at this point if it would be more of a shock or more of just like a resolve where people are like, oh yeah, this happened, whatever, there's nothing I can do about it. And I think that people get too comfortable in that, thinking to themselves, like, oh, well, it's not my problem. You know, even if they do know about it, it doesn't impact them in the right way or in the way that would cause change, because they're so comfortable in their own bubble that they're like, well, I don't want to leave my bubble. Like, sure, I know it's happening, but it's not my bubble. And so until it really impacts a person, I think, on an actual personal level, I think that that's what's going to cause real change, because I can't imagine that the parents of the children that get stolen, I mean, some of them do sell them. Some of them do sell their kids into it and they don't care. But some parents genuinely do have their children stolen or taken, whatever, and they're not okay, you know, and that impacts them to make changes for not just themselves, but to raise awareness. But again, I think it has to be something that really impacts you. It can't just be an article, you know, that you read on Facebook and go, oh, that's horrible, click. next thing. You know, it really has to move people, I think, to get the right change that is necessary for this to stop being such an issue.
Yeah, sadly, it just seems that a lot of people are, like, apathetic and lackadaisical about it. Like, they're just like, whatever, it happens. It didn't happen to me, so I don't got to worry about it. But I mean, it is just, it's really so big. And now we can get into, the, like, the Hollywood aspect of the human trafficking part.
Oh, yeah, it's heinous. It's heinous. Awful.
It is. And I'm sure you've heard of Chrissy Teigen. You know who she is.
She
on Twitter, did you hear on Twitter that, like, she recently blocked 1 million followers? She deleted 60,000 tweets. For a short while, she actually had her Twitter account locked where you had to be an approved follower, like you couldn't view it. But then just very recently, I think a couple of days ago or a week ago, she now made it public again. And I'm like, what is going on with that?
All of the evidence. Yeah, I actually did my own little bit of research into that because I wanted to try to be as nonpartisan as possible, but that was until I read the tweets. There's no way that you can read those Twitter messages and not think that they're pedophilic.
Exactly.
There's no way around it. Like, her argument is so weak. She's like, oh, I made some comments. I'm like, have you seen your comments? They're incredibly, I mean, she literally says at one point, she says that she's salivating over, like, and then whenever there's a little boy that comes onto the show, she says, oh, finally some eye candy for me. I mean, there's no way to work around what she says. I mean, she calls herself a pedophile in several of the tweets. And they have kids, her and John Legend.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart because I was a huge fan of John Legend. I've seen him at the Grammys. I've enjoyed his music for years. His song, All of Me, was my mom's favorite before she passed. That's not my bio mom, but my adopted mom. It was her favorite song before she passed away. And just reading everything and realizing just how deep this goes, I mean, she keeps trying to say, oh, well, you know, I'm friends with, you know, Epstein's friends and I'm friends with him or whatever. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. And I'm going, yes, it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would not be friends with Epstein, or his friends, especially if you even had an inkling of what was going on. And a lot of people did, you know, so I just. But to be completely frank with you, there is a lot that goes on in Hollywood that's very hush-hush because there's a lot of, dirty shortcuts for people to acquire fame in really unhealthy ways because they'd rather sell their soul and, you know, than be moral or ethical, so... It doesn't shock me, but it does sadden me. It does make me very sad.
Yeah. And I don't know what her deal was with making her account public again. I mean, is she trying to exonerate herself? Because people keep retweeting, like, her past tweets that she actually posted. So I'm wondering. Right. I'm like, I wonder what...
Well, she's got to keep up her fame. That's all it is. She can't let go because that's her work. She's got to keep raising her numbers, and not only that, but now she's got to try to build more fans that hopefully, in her mind, haven't read her tweets, because otherwise she's not going to get work, and so she's a big money maker. She's got a lot under her history belt of work and career moves, and no celebrity that wants to stay a celebrity and have consistent work stays under the radar for too long. Everybody just does little blips. I mean, this has nothing to do with human trafficking, but if you're familiar with Jaclyn Hill, you know, she had a problem with her product. She went into, went dark on the social media and came back up, and she got a bunch of followers. She got more because people want to, it becomes a publicity move. People want to read. It's juicy to them. Now they want to see what else are they going to do. Is there, even if you hate somebody, you're still going to want to read it because you're going to go, ooh, what did they say that I hate?
Exactly.
It becomes an attraction piece and a clickbait. And so even though she deleted all those followers and even though she blocked all those tweets and everything, she's going to probably end up being even more famous because fame and infamy in the Hollywood world are the same thing. You know, they say no news in Hollywood is bad news.
Yeah, bad publicity is good publicity. Yep, and also the saying bad publicity is good publicity because it's publicity.
Right.
People are talking about you.
Exactly. So I always think of the line, are you a fan of like superhero movies?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like Marvel Comics,
so,
yeah.
You know, in the original Spider-Man movies when the reporter guy, he's mad because he's trying to get a picture of Spider-Man. He's like, get me a picture of Spider-Man. And he goes, okay, fine, Spider-Man. You don't want to be famous? I'll make you infamous.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Oh, very true. Good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've definitely thought a lot about it because it's definitely close to my heart, whether I want it to be or not.
And now is if things... We can kind of segue the conversation into a similar topic, stalkers.
Sure.
What have you had to deal with stalkers that you've encountered?
Oh, Lord. Well, for those who are listening to the podcast, again, my name is Zai, and I used to go under the name Bonnabelle, and I've had a couple of different name changes throughout my career. But what I'm really known for is I'm known for being on American Idol, MTV. I was a singer for the Yankees and the Phillies. I've also done so many different kinds of work. I have an IMDb for movies. I've done commercials. I've done all kinds of things concerning just any kind of entertainment. I've done voice acting, you name it, modeling. Kind of have my toes dipped in all the water of all the different kinds and forms of art. And so because of that, and because of being, you know, on TV, magazines, radio, I had my own radio show for a year. I've done literally every form of media that you can think of, from the social media to newspapers. Because of that popularity and because of that being in the public eye, people can be overzealous.
Yeah.
Because people get stars in their eyes and, you know, they want to be a part of that fame, even if that means just to touch you. I mean, I've had people that just want to touch me because they said that if they touch my shoulder, then, you know, my gold will, like, rub off on them.
Right, like,
you know,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, silly things. And sometimes that silliness can become dangerous. And so I'd say I've always had stalkers since I was young. I've had some really interesting stalker scenarios. I think one of my most memorable, how terrible that sounds, one of my most memorable stalker experiences. yeah, one of my top three. about 3 and a half years ago, I was singing at a gig, and it was back when I was having some pretty popularity for American Idol. I was a return contestant. I had been on it when I was younger, and I finally made it as an adult, and I was on ABC Action News for it. I was getting interviewed for it. Tampa Bay Times was following me for it, just everybody. Well, one day I was singing at a gig and celebrating with some of my friends and family and fans, and this guy came in. I'd never seen him before, but he was wearing a low ball cap and glasses indoors at night. And I remember going, huh, that's freaking weird. I remember looking at him and going, why are you wearing glasses inside at night? And when I had a break in my set, which is common, you know, you sing for a little bit, take a little rest, get back on stage. I had just turned down my music, and he came up. It was so weird. Like, he came up to me like a ninja. Like, I looked up from my tip jar, and he was just there. Like, he had somehow levitated from his seat at the bar on the other side of the restaurant, and he was, like, in front of me. And at the time, I was stationed by these doors that led to the back, and they were these, like, glass push doors. You know, they're not like a doorknob kind of door. It's like you press against it, and they open wide open. And he started asking me really weird questions. He started asking me when I was going home. He said, are you going to take the bus? And I said, no. And then he goes, under his breath, he goes, that really, forgive my language, but he says, that really fucks up my plan. And I was like, what did you just say? And he goes, nothing. He goes, so American Idol, huh? And as he's, like, talking to me, all the warning bells, because now I'm older, right? So I'm like, okay, I know what this is. I'm freaking out. And I'm like, okay, I've been through this before. I'm like, all right. So I'm, like, trying to signal my friend Leia, and I'm, like, trying to wave at her without waving because the guy has, like, his hands up, like, he's about to do something. And she is drunk because it's a party.
Yeah.
And she's drunk, and she's laughing, and I just remember, like, looking at her and just being like, look at me, dang it, look at me. And finally, she looked at me, and I pretended like she was calling me, and I go, oh, Leia, I'll be right there. And I said, oh, thanks, girl. Like, yeah, no, I see you watching me. Like, I said it on purpose because I wanted him to know, like, someone is watching
me. Yeah.
You know, because he had come up when everyone was chatting and looking away from me because I had just stopped my show. So everybody was looking at me during the show. So when it goes to a break, everybody goes, wow, that's really great, right? And they go to each other. And so I, like, tried to go past him, and he pushed me a little bit towards the doors, and then Elea, like, came over, and, like, you know, I went over to her, like, we met each other in the middle, and then, like, I'm going, okay, I'm having really weird warning signs go off, and so, like, I walk around, the guy found his seat again, and there was a cloth next to him, and he tried to have me pick it up. He's like, you know, hey, would you grab that for me? And that's an old trick of the book, something that's very important, especially for young girls. You never do that. When a guy drops something like a napkin, you never pick it up. And the reason is that lots of times it has chloroform or it has some form of drug on it.
Holy shit.
It's to roofie the person. Yeah, it's in order to make the person drowsy, and then if you become vulnerable, and then they can kind of just take you out and you won't fight. So he's trying to get me to pick it up, and I'm like, sorry, I gotta go. And, like, I ran past him, I grabbed my adopted grandparents, and I said, this guy just tried to push me out the door. He's trying to get me to grab this napkin. He's wearing a ball cap and glasses. I'm like, this guy's creepy. So they escorted me outside, and I said, oh, yeah. And I said, he's trying to find out when I'm leaving, and he's asking if I'm leaving alone, and he's asking if I'm going to take the bus. So a couple of my family members escorted me outside and surrounded me. And then my grandpa called the police, and the guy ran out the back door. And they did try to investigate, but his ball cap was blocking his face in the surveillance video.
Ah.
And, yeah, but it was, like, one of the craziest things. I'm like, that guy just tried to kidnap, but, like, at a gig with people watching. You know, it's so crazy to me because I was like, how is this possible? And then the following week, some drunk guy grabbed me by my hoo-ha and I screamed. And after that, I was like, you know what? Never again. So I hired a bodyguard that was on leave, on break from the army. And Carlos was my man for like 7 months. Like, he was at every single gig. You know, I was so scared that something is going to happen to me. And since then, I go about it much differently. As of this last year, when I was pregnant, I had one guy stalk me so crazy that, like, he got kicked out of the place multiple times because he came up to me during a set break and said he drew me naked with a bunch of penises facing me on the paper.
Oh, my God.
And so they threw him out, and he continued to stalk me. He, like, paid to go to several other gigs because there was, like, tickets at the door, and I had to have them thrown out of, like, three different separate shows. And we had to be like, listen, we're going to get a restraining order on you. The police are coming. And he, like, tried to follow me out to my car and all kinds of stuff. But those are just, like, some of the experiences, like, off the top of my head. There's way more. But those were definitely the more terrifying ones where I was like, oh, my God, this guy's about to chloroform me. Oh, my God, this guy just grabbed my crotch. Oh, my God, this guy just drew me naked and won't leave.
That rounds up the top three.
Yeah, top three. Definitely, it's prevalent, unfortunately, because it's all sexual harassment in the end, you know, adult or child, sex trafficking, sexual assault, or just sexual misconduct is way more common, and I know that the statistics already show that. I think, I don't want to misquote it, but I believe it's like 4 out of 9 women have something happen to them, but I think I'm actually misquoting that. I might have to look up the statistic, but it's a high statistic.
Yeah, that's
so
scary.
It's just, yeah, unfortunate.
It is. And again, listeners, human trafficking, pedophilia, it is a very real issue. Pizzagate is a real thing, people. It's not any kind of a conspiracy. It's been proven. It's happening. Unfortunately, we've got to find ways to stop it. In the meantime, information is the best way to combat it. And the information you gave about not picking up any kind of a napkin or anything like that somebody drops, that's definitely good info that hopefully someone will listen to, and it may save their life.
I hope so, yes. And the same goes for, you know, never stop if somebody knocks on your car door. You know, if you're driving, somebody knocks on your door and they try to get you to lower your window or get you to step out of the car, they say, oh, my dog's been hit by a car, this or that. There's a lot of manipulative tactics, and it's scary to think that, like, you know, oh, well, you know, I want to believe the best in people, and that's okay to do, but just, you know, keep in mind, and if you ever have your gut go off, if your gut starts saying, red flag, don't ignore that. You know, a lot of women are taught to ignore it because they're like, oh, you're too sensitive. No, you're not. Your body knows. You know, on a level, and if you feel your gut, you listen to your gut. It's very important.
Yes, definitely is. And now we're going to segue into something that I saw this on a live Facebook feed that you did. Now, while imitation may be the highest form of flattery, it's not quite too flattering when somebody is imitating you to a point where they're actually funneling your money into their account. Tell everyone the story of what happened with that. How somebody became Zai the Entertainer and was taking money away from your music career, and it was going right to them.
Sure, yeah. I mean, just like how there's stalkers, there's, you know, there's good sides of fame, and sometimes there can be not so good sides of fame. And with this in particular, I was really shocked because I was so confused. I kept looking at my bank account and going, my friend just told me they bought my album, but I don't see it. And I'm going, this person just said they downloaded my song, but I don't see it. Some guy in Brazil, he has another account that's younger than mine, and he adapted my name and took the songs and from my albums, and now they're under his YouTube. And I've been trying to fight YouTube. He told me that he was going to have it taken care of. He said, he literally begged me. He goes, please call off your fans. I promise I'll work it out. Like, I'll give them back. Don't worry. And it's not happened. But essentially, he used my name, uploaded my songs onto YouTube somehow, and now it's on his channel. And when I try to upload the same songs that are mine, only once in a while do they actually upload. Sometimes I have to do it multiple times because they say that I'm committing fraud for not being Zai, even though it's my music. And what's hilarious is it's my photo, so it's a man. It's a man from Brazil that has this channel that's taking my music, and it's clearly a dude. I'm a woman. You can hear that it's a woman singing on my song, and it's my photo. So there's no way to say, like, oh, maybe he didn't know or anything. It's all my design work. It's all my music. And I really don't know what made him think it was okay, especially since I found out that some of my songs he had on there for, like, over a year from my other album. So he had two albums on there that I wasn't aware were under his channel. So he was racking up views for my music and racking up the money for my music. And I'm still fighting YouTube because COVID made everything backlogged, and I've been reaching out, and they're like, due to COVID, we're so sorry, delays expected, yada, yada.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and so I still have not gotten my songs back, but also enabled them to get onto my channel again. So I had to re-upload some videos, and if you go on, you know, YouTube, you'll see, whenever you look it up, people are commenting and saying, stop stealing her music and this and that. But I think what's sad is because of, you know, trying to get my songs back, I now have a, you know, thumbs down for my music, but it's not thumbs down for the music, it's thumbs down for him stealing my music, but it makes my songs look like I've got thumbs down. So I'm like, no!
Don't thumb down anymore. Yeah, right. Like, don't thumb down the person stealing my music. Thumb him down somehow, but not. Yeah. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but not the song. Exactly. So it'll be resolved because I'm not gonna let it go. I'm gonna be like a dog with a bone. But
oh, you have to be.
Interesting.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, this is your livelihood. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who's still stealing your music. It's not right.
Yes. If you look it up, you'll see. You'll see it, and it's hilarious, because when I wrote him and I said, this is my music, you know it's my music, what is your problem? He's like, oh, I didn't know it was yours. I'm like, if I had some video, any video, pop up on my YouTube that I did not upload, I would either take it down or be like, whose song is this and why is it on my channel? I wouldn't have kept it, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Imagine if you have your podcast and you're doing your podcast, if somebody else's podcast suddenly started playing on your podcast, wouldn't you be like, hey, this isn't mine, this is weird, get it off my channel?
Exactly.
You know, so that's why I know for a fact that what he's doing is devious, because no one that wasn't intentionally trying to do what he's doing would be like, oh yeah, this is, oh great, some random girl's music, I'm gonna totally use this, and yeah, I'll keep it on there for over a year, no problem,
and I'll steal her picture too,
because it was getting good responses. So
yeah, I hope that gets resolved. And I mean, stealing your picture, it's like, come on, dude, that is so wrong.
We look nothing alike. No one, I have new hair. Oh, yay.
All right, but now that you got on topic with your albums, like, how many albums have you actually made?
Well, believe it or not, I think I'm coming up on three now. I did two EPs that were 100% different styles of music, where the first album was actually an LGBTQ kind of rights, I guess, like, I wouldn't say rights, like fighting for rights, but just an LGBTQ rights album. I wrote one song that was about polyamory, about a relationship that I was experiencing at the time. I wrote one about a breakup with a boy, one about a breakup with a girl, and then I wrote another song about how I got tripped because a guy said he was in an open relationship and that, you know, it was fine, and then I found out it wasn't, and then I had to expose him to his girlfriend and be like, hey, this guy is going around telling people that you guys sleep with other people. So I wrote about those experiences that were pretty prolific and heavy to me at the time, and some of them turned out to be so well-received that I actually got onto TV. I was on daytime TV for my song Sunshine You, as well as multiple radio shows and live podcastings and all kinds of interviews, which was really lovely. And then my latest album, I actually did it with the producer, ironically enough, the producer of John Legend, which is one of my other coups that I used to be so happy about. Yay, I work with the producer of John Legend. No, I work with the producer of John Legend. like, why, God, why?
I know, right?
But the album is good, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the latest album was about mental health. And so that was written about some things that I had gone through. And one song was actually to fight against racism. So it's a song explaining how we're all a human race and we should love one another and be united. And then for the other album, I would say it's a composite of multiple styles, of music. They're all different songs that I've done from either features or I actually had a couple of reggae songs that I had yet to release. Did some reggae music for a minute there. That was a lot of fun. And I've got a couple of remixes as well that have to be released as singles. So overall, on a professional level where sales were involved or the music was at the level where it needs to be for it to be considered professional, I'd say I've produced about 20 different songs, and I've just been so blessed to have had that opportunity. But the two albums that I described, the first one's called On the Rise, Sunshine, Why So Blue? And the second one is called Stranger Than Fiction.
Awesome. And?
Thank you. I had a lot of fun with making them, for sure.
Oh, I mean, that's like the whole point of being an artist. This gives you an opportunity to be creative. And if you're not having fun doing it, you're doing something wrong.
Yes, I completely agree. Back when concerts were still, a thing, I love telling people, I'm going to go have fun. I mean, technically it's work, but I'm going to go have fun.
Yeah. When you do what you love, yeah, it's never work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never work a day in your life if you do what you love.
I'm still working on that. I mean, I work full time, but I'm trying to get into acting as a part time thing, and we'll see how that goes. It's definitely going to be my retirement plan, because when I retire, it's not like I'm going to just retire and sit around and do nothing. That's when I go full scale into acting and try to do as much as I can with that. Get to enjoy.
Well, I think that would be a lovely idea. When you go, make sure you check out backstage.com. They have all kinds of auditions, including in Florida, and they're awesome. The response rate that I get on Backstage is 100%, 120%.
All right. I definitely got to check that out. And then, of course...
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Yeah. We have to wait for 2020 to come and go, though, I think. And, I mean, God, this year can't get over fast enough.
I wish I could say, oh yeah, there's a hope or optimism, but we literally have a double hurricane, and I don't know who had that on their 2020 pandemic bingo.
Yeah, right.
It's it won't end.
Asteroids, double hurricanes. Oh.
Right, and the election. We haven't even done the election. I'm so scared.
I know.
I feel like no matter what happens, there's going to be a riot from either side. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter who gets voted in. It doesn't matter. At that point, everyone's just going to be mad.
Probably. And, that's why I can say proudly that my political affiliation is no party affiliation. Because
I can understand that.
To quote the late, great George Carlin, it's not much of a party for you and I. It's only a party for them. And that's the truth. All right. But now, to end the show on a good note, pun intended, do you have a song that you wanted to do either a little bit of or kind of...
I wanted to so badly. Trying really hard. I don't know what's going on with my computer. I do have my computer up, And yet, for some reason, my internet is not wanting to comply with me. So I've been sitting here the entire show just trying to get my internet to come up so that I could sing along with something. But I could do something a cappella, no problem.
All right. And that could be like, maybe it's better that way. Because guess what? If you want to listen to Zai's music, go buy her album. Go on to, you're probably on Spotify or...
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Spotify, Apple Music, literally anything. So Deezer, I didn't even know what Deezer was until I distributed there. So you can find it on YouTube. Just check out Zai, Z-A-I, Entertainer. You can also find me on Google under Zai, last name Euro, G-Y-R-O-S. However, if you want to check out my stuff from American Idol, you'll see it under Zai or Vonnebel. That's V like Victory, O-N as in Nancy, A, B as in boy, E-L-L. And in the future, we might be switching things up. So if you see some girl called Raven Maiden, don't be too surprised. You might just be surprised who it is. So definitely go check that out.
It'll be Zai Reinvented. There you go. Zai 2.0.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Awesome, awesome. Well, and before we end, too, I just want to say, Steve, thank you so much for having me on the show. You're a wonderful interviewer and first of all, a really wonderful guy, regardless of the interview, just as a person. You've got great morals. I keep up with your Facebook posts, and just you seem like you've got not only your mental health together, which is as uncommon in 2020 as I'd say.
very.
But just overall, really appreciate being able to come onto your podcast and being willing to be heard. So thank you for having me on your show. And I'm going to sing a little bit of that Sunshine You that we were talking about earlier. And thank you all so much for listening. And I hope that you were not only entertained, but that you might have learned a little bit as well. So.
Definitely.
And, all right, here we go.
And just let me do like a little SNL intro kind of here.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, right. Zai the Entertainer.
I was afraid of thunder and rain, but you knew that from the very beginning. First we were smiles, we were love. But then you pulled away, then you pulled away. Where do you go at last? Let me stay in your arms, just let me, I ain't doing no harm. I just want to lay here with you. And it seems so complex, yet to many it is just plain common sense. Can't get a hold of you. Well, you say you can't stay. Oh, but did I really ever matter to you anyway? You say, hey, I love you, but have you ever spoken the truth? Hey, let me stay in your arms, just let me, I ain't doing no harm, I just want to lay here with you. And it seems so complex, yet to many it is just plain common sense. Can't get a hold of you. If you gave me a chance, maybe I could explain why I did that dance. But you never knew who I really am. So don't cry, sing lullabies while you're missing me again. Let me stay in your arms, just let me, I ain't doing no harm. I just want to stay here with you, yeah. And it seems so complex, yet to many it is just plain common sense. Can't get a hold of you. No, I can't get a hold of you.
Beautiful, beautiful, great job. And that is a sample of Zai's music, everybody. And Zai, we know where we can find your music. Where can the listeners find you on social media?
Just check me out at, again, that's Zai, Z-A-I, Entertainer, or check me out at my new title, which is Raven, R-A-V-E-N, Made, M-A-I-D, Maiden, Raven Maiden Music.
All right. Zai, hey, I want to thank you once again for being a guest on my show. I had a blast. I hope you did too. It was great. And on that note, I will say that it has been another successful delivery.